Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, two first responders, retired cop, retired nurse. My name is Jesse Romero, my wife Anita. And we're going to start off with the St. Michael the Archangel's prayer once again. These topics that we're going to be talking about are relevant for two reasons. Number one, we want to talk about how to protect your house, A, and B, not only from the diabolical, but also from the physical. Just turn on your television and see the way we have many cities around the country that are, there's insurrection and anarchy, many cities that are just basically taken hostage. And without a doubt, these people are under the influence of the diabolical. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, you can tell when the diabolical has taken over a city. He says the three things that you'll see are nudity, love of violence, and divisiveness or division, which we see that in racism or cultural Marxism. So let's pray St. Michael the Archangel prayer, and let's jump right into it. We want to talk about the divine mercy. When demons flee dying souls, the hidden saving power, the divine mercy. There's not enough Catholic priests right now, and this is important for us as lay Catholics. This is a weapon, a tool that we can be using to pray at the bedside of somebody who's sick and dying. And by the way, when somebody who's dying, there are demons that appear to him. That's Marian theology, that's divine mercy theology, as we'll see right now. So let's pray. Let's invoke St. Michael. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Virgin the Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Venerable Fulton Sheen,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons,
pray for us.
All you holy angels and saints of God,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, let's begin. I'm going to have my wife start off at the top of the show with this powerful prayer that helps demons flee dying souls.
Okay, you know, we're taking this information from Father Gabriel Lechting. He wrote an article on this. So why don't we go ahead and start? One of the most powerful prayers on the face of the earth is the divine mercy. That's what he says. This also applies especially for dying. Our Lord once told Sister Faustina these words. He said, "My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given to you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. Write that when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying person, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as a merciful Savior." And that's in Sister Faustina's diary in paragraph 1541. Wow, what an amazing promise this was made by our Lord. He will stand between us and the dying person and his Father as a merciful Savior. Wow, you know, how reassuring and consoling is that for us that will be dying and for others that are loved ones that are dying.
Here's something very practical. Again, there's not a lot of Catholic priests, let's just be honest. And people are sick and dying, not only because of this, the communist Chinese Wuhan virus, but just every 2 seconds, somebody dies on planet Earth. Okay, you can look that up on the internet. Every 2 seconds. So one, two, somebody just died. One, two, somebody just died. And if you can get a Catholic priest at their bedside, and many people can. There's many people that are disconnected from their faith, and so they have no connection with the parish. And you know how many lukewarm Catholics are out there. That's why you, as Catholics that are practicing your faith, you should be cognizant of those people in your family, especially those that are sick and dying, okay? And you should be praying the divine mercy. There's a family member on my wife's side that's bedridden and in her last stages. Every single day at 3 o'clock, in my mind, I bring her to memory and I pray the divine mercy for her. Because in case, again, once again, I want the promises of Jesus Christ to be invoked. I want for Jesus to come down and be at her bedside and just be between her and God the Father and just show her mercy. And so you have family members as well that you can't get a priest to for whatever reason. And this is a promise. This is a promise that given to us by Jesus. But not only that, this is a demonstration of his mercy that he wants to love, that he wants to love and save us more than we want to be saved ourselves.
Okay, Father Gabriel Tegley continues on with this. He wanted to share a conversation regarding the divine mercy in regards to Sister Faustina's praying a chaplet for a divine for a dying person. He spoke with a nurse who said that she prayed the divine mercy with one of her dying patients, and she prayed. She felt something swoosh by her and exit the room. This account blew him away, partially because of the story itself, but also because a similar account from Sister Faustina. She had that similar account. Faustina, the great saint, Divine Mercy, recounted a similar experience during her lifetime, although what made Sister Faustina's experience different is that she saw what happened behind the scenes, beyond the veil in the realm of the supernatural. Sister Faustina also describes it in her writings. Our Lord said to her, "My daughter, help me to save a certain dying sinner. Say the chaplet that I have taught you for him." So Faustina then said, "When I began to say the chaplet, I saw the man dying in the midst of terrible torment and struggle. His guardian angel was defending him, but he was, as it were, powerless against the enormity of the soul's misery. A multitude of devils was waiting for the soul." Sister Faustina continues, "But while I was saying the chaplet, I saw Jesus just as he is depicted in the image. The rays which issued from Jesus' heart enveloped the sick man, and the powers of darkness fled in panic. The sick man peacefully breathed his last. When I came to myself, I understood how very important the chaplet was for the dying. It appeases the anger of God." You can find that in Sister St. Faustina's diary in chapter 1565.
Why did Jesus give us the divine mercy? Because he knew that the 20th century was going to be the bloodiest, most violent, and the 21st, by the way, the most violent centuries known to Western civilization. And Jesus wanted to give us a hand up before all of us are lost. And so what he did is he made us all ambassadors. He made us all his ambassadors. With this prayer, we have the power in Christ to actually save somebody's soul. Again, this is a great gift for such a time as this, because the days are evil. You don't believe me? Just turn on the television. But here's some of the principles of the divine mercy. Okay, this is not a game. This is not a toy. This is a tool. This is a weapon to save somebody's soul. And there's a couple of principles at play here for somebody who's taking this serious, like I am. Our Lord wants us to ask him in order to receive. That's Matthew 7:7. That's a biblical principle of prayer. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm baptized. Why doesn't God just take care of me and meet all my needs?" One of the rules in spiritual, in the economy of grace, in the spiritual realm, is you have to ask God, because that now works on your virtue of humility, and that works on the virtue of your docility and your obedience to God. So God can do anything, but he's not going to act in your life until you ask. That's a biblical principle. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. There's another biblical principle that's at play here. You got to be in a state of grace when you say these prayers. James 5:16 tells us about the prayer of a righteous person has much power. And probably the third biblical principle here is you can't play with these prayers. You got to take your prayer life serious and your interior life serious. And what do I mean by that? In John 9:31, it says something very unpopular. People say, "What?" It says it in John 9:31. It says, you could look it up in your Bible, that if you pray while you're in mortal sin, your prayers are in vain. God doesn't hear your prayers. And so again, The divine mercy is a synergistic cooperative between God and the human person, us as his ambassadors, to go out there. And we're as Bishop Olmsted says, we're standing in the breach between the person who's dying and God, and we're the persons in the breach, calling God's divine mercy to save this person's soul. Anita, do you have any comments?
Well, I want to just continue on with the diary. It said our Lord attached a promise as well. And at the hour of death, I defend as my own glory every soul that will say this chaplet, or when others say it for a dying person. The indulgence is the same. That you can find that in the Diary of St. Faustina, 8:11. And it tells us to pray for one another in Scripture. It's James 5:16 and 1 Timothy 2:1. Just remember, you could always go to Scripture. There's always going to be something justifying what we do. It's very important.
Let me mention one thing. I like the military language that you just read from paragraph 8:11, especially for guys. I mean, guys, again, because sometimes guys think that prayer is just it's a woman's endeavor. Look at what St. Faustina just said. At the hour of death, I defend. Boy, who doesn't need defense? Talk about defensive tactics. This is spiritual warfare, defensive tactics. You want Jesus to defend you? Pray the divine mercy when you're dying, or pray it over somebody as they're dying. As the Bible says, pray for one another. Jesus 911, two-man car, retired cop, retired nurse. We're talking about spiritual warfare and the divine mercy. We'll be right back.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, retired cop, retired nurse, my wife Anita, myself. We're talking about the divine mercy as it relates to spiritual warfare. I have seen people that are dying in mortal sin, and somebody tried to pray the divine mercy in their presence, and they rejected it. They started growling and covering their ears with pillows and started turning their head side by side like a wild dog. They wanted nothing to do with the prayers or the mercy of Christ. Why? Because as Jesus tells us in the Divine Mercy, demons are attacking us. When you're dying, demons are attacking us. This is Catholic teaching. Our Lord has told us that demons attack us in the Divine Mercy. The Blessed Virgin Mary has said in many approved apparitions that demons are attacking you right when you're dying. And this is why these prayers are so important. The Rosary, the Divine Mercy, right before you're dying. These promises, simply put, are enormous and amazing.
Yeah, it only takes 5 to 7 minutes to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This is so awesome. It's life-giving work of mercy that is within everyone's means. It's just grabbing your rosary and saying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for whoever needs it. And if there's someone that you don't have specifically praying for, there's many others that you don't know that you would be helping. In Canon 1752, keeping in mind the salvation of souls, which a church must always be the supreme law. That's our goal as a church, is to save souls. That's what evangelization is. This is spiritual warfare, saving souls.
And Father, I can't even pronounce his name. Father Gabriel Littig. Okay. So the article is called, you can get it from the show page, jesseromero.com or vmpr.org. It's called When Demons Flee Dying Souls, The Hidden Saving Power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet by Father Gabriel Littig. So we continue. Again, canon law says there's nothing more important than the salvation of souls. And Father Littig continues by saying,
and he continues, let us be convinced that through the testimony of St. Faustina and the Secretary of God's Mercy, one of the greatest things we can do for a dying person is to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for them. Father Gabriel continues, he's seen firsthand the power of this chaplet in regards to the dying, not only in his conversations with the nurse mentioned above, mentioned her, but in many experiences providing the last sacraments. He routinely prays the Divine Mercy Chaplet for a dying person on his way to see them, and he thinks because of that, it's like cover fire as he approaches the Lord's mercy manifested in sacraments. And there you go, the cover fire. There's a military word.
See, this speaks to the heart of a guy. You know, when demons flee, cover fire, defense. There is nothing feminine about being a prayer warrior. It's about the most masculine. In other words, you know what? You know who doesn't want to pray? Sissies. Guys who are sissies. St. Thomas, you know what he calls guys that don't want to engage in arduous work? Prayer's hard. This isn't easy. Mm-hmm. Your mind wanders, you get distracted, you got to come back like, oh, you know, like, oh, I'm tired. This is one of the most difficult things to do. Mm-hmm. And this is why St. Thomas calls guys that can't pray or don't want to pray, you know what he calls them? He calls them effeminate. Mm-hmm. Effeminate. Doesn't have anything to do with you having a limp wrist or not wanting to lift weights or work out. If you don't want to pray, St. Thomas Aquinas says that's a trait of effeminacy. How many guys are riding Harley Davidsons and, you know, have shotguns on the back of their truck and they're really effeminate? That's all a cover. That's all fake. Jesus just says, you know what the Divine Mercy provides? Military term, cover fire. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. A soldier gets shot by the enemy. Another brave soldier runs to the battlefield, grabs a soldier that just got shot, and he's shooting with his rifle, his M16. He's laying cover fire as he's grabbing his partner that just got shot, and he's dragging him to safety. He's shooting at the same time to distract the enemy and maybe to shoot some of them. He's laying down cover fire as he's taking out his friend that has just been shot to safety. That's cover fire. This is what happens when you pray the Divine Mercy, because a lot of people that are sick and dying, they have no protection. Especially if they're not in a state of grace, if they don't know the faith, if they're away from the faith, You're the one, through these prayers, that are grabbing them, taking them away from the fires of hell, and bringing them to the feet of Jesus Christ. Anita, what else does Father Gabriel say?
I want to just mention something. Father Ripperger has a video on a feminism, on census for the Allium. It's an excellent video. That's something that I would, maybe you can follow up sometime this weekend and listen to that. It talks about, and Jesse mentioned, the arduous work. Men are not willing to jump in the pool and pray, but it really covers this. We're going to continue on with Father Gabriel, where he says, many times while in the room with a dying person, he perceives the Lord's merciful hands holding them as only he, the good shepherd, can do. He says, God's mercy is so amazing. He wants all of his children home with him, no matter how dark their sins are, no matter how many demons wait for them. Just remember the thief on the cross, who knows how many dark sins he had, but he was there waiting for him to ask him to intercede for him in front of the Father. Wow.
Again, that biblical principle, Matthew 7:7. People say, why do I have to pray? Because God has written a law. You have to ask. It's not going to happen if you don't ask. The thief on the cross would not be in heaven right now if he didn't ask. It's a sign of humility. You're bowing your knee down to God, not to Black Lives Matter. That's what you're doing when you pray. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of docility. It's a sign of saying, I surrender to you, God. That's what it means to get down on your knees. That's why don't get down on your knees for any man or any movement. Get down on your knees for the name of Jesus. And again, our Lord says in this article, and to St. Faustina, again, demons are waiting for you right there as you're dying, because that's your most vulnerable point. What else does the article say, Anita?
Okay. He himself stated to St. Faustina that's our Lord, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to my mercy. With all the encouragement I can possibly muster, I exhort you, the next time you hear someone is dying, especially those close to you, take 5 to 7 minutes and pray the chaplet for them. Help the Lord save them. What an amazing thing it is to cooperate with the ushering of a soul to eternal life in the Father's house, to make demons flee when the rays of the divine mercy show forth. Wow.
Let's just say this quick prayer. It's in the Divine Mercy Diary. It's in paragraph 1015. We'll say it together, Anita. Oh, Jesus, inspire souls to pray often for the dying. Amen. So that's in the Divine Mercy. Our Lord told St. Faustina to have people pray that, to give us that drive to want to pray for people that are dying. Anita, a mutual friend of ours, Father Donald Calloway, has a pretty cool story about Divine Mercy. Can you share it?
Yes. As a seminarian, he was at home on vacation when he was called at a bedside of a neighbor who was dying. He recognized that the woman was in agony, and he said he remembered Jesus saying the diary of St. Faustina, that if you pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy at the bedside of someone who's dying, that person will be given the grace of final perseverance. He said that the family members were not familiar with the chaplet, so Father Calloway, at the time he was at Steubenville, Ohio, pulled a rosary out of his pocket and began to pray. And during that prayer, they all saw the countenance of this woman change from being in tortured agony to what looked like she was seeing something beautiful. Then right there in front of them, when the chaplet was done, she took her last breath. Her face was at peace. Everyone in that room knew that something profound and supernatural had happened. And you know, you could read that story on Our Son of Visitor and Jesus, I Trust in You, Stories of Divine Mercy.
Here's another powerful mercy of St. Faustina. It's in paragraph 320. Anita, can you share what she did when she did a holy hour?
Okay, here it goes. Sister Faustina says, after the adoration, half my way to the cell. Okay, a cell, for those that don't know what that means, it's not a prisoner cell. It's their room. They call it a cell. Religious and clergy, they all call it a cell. I was surrounded by a pack of huge black dogs who were jumping and howling and trying to tear me to pieces. I realized that they were not dogs, but demons. One of them spoke up in rage. Because you have snatched so many souls away from us this night, we will tear you to pieces. Faustina answered, if that is the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it, because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is ever holy, just, and merciful. To these words, all the demons answered as one, let us flee, for she is not alone. The Almighty is with her. And they vanished like dust, like the noise of the road. Well, she continued on her way to her cell, undisturbed, finishing her Te Deum and pondering the infinite and unfathomable mercy. And that's in paragraph 320 in the St. Faustina's diary, if you want to read it and reference it.
I'll tell you why prayer is so important, especially this prayer. There's a principle that, think about this, even in sin, when you focus on something, you give it life and energy. Think about that principle. When you focus on something, you give it life and energy, okay? Even on something evil. Imagine yourself, somebody who's cutting their teeth on pornography, and all of a sudden these images are so burned, the imagination so powerful, they're projecting these images that they're watching of these fictitious women as they're out there, maybe, I don't know, in Hawaii or something, the white sands of Hawaii. The images can almost project reality. That's how powerful the mind is, the imagination. It's a gift that God has given us by the same token. So when you focus on something negative, again, like pornography or drugs, okay, what you do is you give it life and energy. It becomes an obsession. When you focus on something positive, like the blood of Jesus, the wounds of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the maternity of the Blessed Mother. When you focus on positive things, you give them life and energy as well. And your imagination, that meditation now, it takes custody of your intellect. It teaches you the doctrines of the church. It enlightens your mind. It purifies your understanding. And it also strengthens your will. You're listening to Jesus 911 Two-Man Car, retired cop, retired nurse, first responders. We're going to talk now about an exorcist encounters the power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Right now. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. This is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And as Catholics, I'll tell you why this is so important. Because if you notice on television, there's all these TV series about haunted houses. Yep. Dead Files, Haunted Live, Haunted Highway, Paranormal State, Paranormal Activity, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Mind, Ghost Stalkers, Ghost Adventures, Psychic Kids, Sci-Fi Series. And we as Catholics don't use the word haunted houses. We say demonic infestation. Well, let me tell you something. The best way to protect your house is to enthrone the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The husband should be doing this. A priest could do it, of course. You can get a priest to come over. But I'll tell you what that does. It makes a husband lazy because he can say, well, Father blessed the house. He enthroned the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So I don't have to go to Mass. The house is protected. A priest came over and did a blessing. I don't have to pray. I don't have to bless my kids. I don't have to bless my wife. I don't have to go read my Bible. A priest already came and blessed the house. I noticed that's what happens with a lot of tepid Catholics. They invite a priest to say, that's all good. It's all protected. That's why, in my take, the husband of the house should do this, because it makes him responsible now. It makes him, I'm the one that enthroned Jesus as king of this house. You know what? I better live like he's my king then, and I better be an example for the rest of my family. Anita, we're going to share an article by Patty Armstrong. She writes a lot on spiritual warfare. It's called An Exorcist Encounters the Power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes. Okay, ultimately, civil authorities will not solve our spiritual problems. You know that. Look what's happening right now. What we need to do as a lady and the faithful, we should pray, fast for them, fast for these authorities, and for strong leadership, especially in our church. But we can also create a fortress of spirit protection by putting ourselves under the sovereignty of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's our protection. Jesus revealed the extent of his burning love for us through the visions of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Remember, that's that nun in Paray de la Monial, France, during the 17th century. She was the one we spoke about last week. Devotion to the Sacred Heart has actually been a part of the church throughout history. She says, in 1956, Pope Pius XII's encyclical, Caritate Christi Compulsi, on the theology of the Sacred Heart. That also means love of Christ impels us. That's love of Christ impels us. That's what that means in English, and that encyclical on the theology of the Sacred Heart explained that devotion to the love of God goes all the way back to the Old Testament. That's an encyclical you need to read. We're gonna have three paragraphs on that. So it just shows you we're very rich with spiritual warfare in that. During the apparition of Saint Mary Margaret Alacoque in 1675, Jesus made 12 promises. We did go through those 12 promises last week, so we're not gonna go through them today. To those who honor and spread the devotion to a Sacred Heart, one of which was, I will bless every house in which an image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. Inspired by that promise, Father Matteo Crawley Bove, he lived between the years of 1875 and 1960. He was born in Peru. He began promoting enthronement of the Sacred Heart as our king on August 24th, 1907. He said, to conquer the whole world for the heart of Jesus, home after home, family after family. And during his lifetime, there were five popes who reigned during that life of Father Matteo, endorsed and they blessed his work. One of them being St. Pius X, the second one, Benedict the 15th, the Pius the 11th, Pius the 12th, and John the 23rd.
So the Sacred Heart Home Enthronement brings a blessing to your house. Okay, this has papal validation. This was given to us by Jesus to a nun who's now a saint, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And let's not forget that the opposite of a blessing is what? Is a curse. Your house becomes protected, much like, think about the Israelites back in the book of Exodus chapter 12, when they were hostage to the Egyptians. And so God sent Pharaoh signs that he was God. And Pharaoh's heart was still becoming hardened one sign after another. So God said, okay, that's it. God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn of everybody in Egypt who did not have on the top of the door, on the door jamb, and on the side doorpost, they were told by Moses, you got to cover the doorpost and the top of the door jamb with the blood of a male lamb, and then you have to eat that male lamb, every Jewish family. If you don't do that, you will die. And so the Sacred Heart devotion and the Divine Mercy image in this prayer, this is the Lamb that was prefigured at the time of Moses. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29. So all these lambs in the Old Testament, they just were prefigurements. They were just metaphors of Christ that would be the perfect Lamb that would save us from the final angel of death, which is the devil in hell. And so these devotions go back to the Old Testament. The Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart pictures in your house and devotion to them by prayer, what does that do? This mystically covers your house with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, now the Catholic Church has formalized this devotion. And it's, Jesse has mentioned, it's an old devotion. And it's taken hold of, again, among many Catholic families. It's not a novelty. We've had this for a long time. It's just resurfacing. And I think that's awesome for all those families, especially young families. You grandparents, your children that have their own homes, help them and buy a picture and pray it and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, have their home enthroned. The Sacred Heart of Jesus over homes and other places has been done in some Catholic dioceses by proclaiming their allegiance to him and placing themselves under his divine protection. Can you imagine if every diocese did that? That would be just, I mean, we wouldn't have the problems we would have today in our church and in our society.
There's an exorcist who uses Sacred Heart Home Enthronements constantly in his priestly ministry. He's in his 90s. His name's Monsignor John Essev. I've met him a few times. He's a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's the oldest exorcist in this country. He's over 90. And he's the former spiritual director of the St. Teresa of Calcutta. And Monsignor Essev has dedicated his priesthood to the Sacred Heart. If you want to get deep theology on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he's got a 14-part series on the internet, Monsignor John Essev, on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He was interviewed by Patty Armstrong in this article. Yeah, by Patty Armstrong. And in the interview, when Patty Armstrong asked him a series of questions, here is what he said. I decided to visit two major basilicas in Rome, St. Mary Major, and the most ancient of the four, St. John Lateran. When I entered the Blessed Sacrament Chapel of St. John Lateran, I had the most overwhelming experience of prayer in my entire life. I was overwhelmed by the presence, the majesty, the awe, and the power of God. It was so overwhelming that I was unable to stand. I felt myself forced to my knees and in an instant was prostrate on the floor in front of the Blessed Sacrament. The awesome presence of God seized me, and I was trembling and crying. All I could say to God was, "What do you want, Lord? So this is Monsignor John Esef telling Patty Armstrong of his experience of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as he visited two major basilicas in Rome.
While he continued, he heard the Lord answer. He said, "Charity." He was unable to move, even to stir. The state of ecstatic prayer lasted for a long time. When he got his bearings, he got up and walked closer to the Blessed Sacrament altar. He had that same experience of the presence of God, and he knew that it was the Lord Jesus. He wept and cried out, "What do you want, Lord?" "Love, same as charity," was the answer. He waited for the longest time to hear what more might come. The ecstasy lasted a long time. He walked before the Blessed Sacrament altar. A third similar experience began. He lay on the floor in prayer, and the Lord said, "Teach the love of my Sacred Heart." Sometime after that, he heard, "Learn more about the Pope buried in this chapel."
Few things that I would say from Sacred Scripture that just completely validates Monsignor John Esef's experience of the Sacred Heart of Jesus' mystical encounter. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." And remember, what are the two weapons of Satan? Sin and death. Father Chris Eller says, two weapons of Satan get you to sin, eternal death in hell. The Bible also tells us about love, because Monsignor Esef is saying in this encounter with God, God is telling him to Father John Esef, "You have to love, John, you have to love." And that, I mean, that's why it says, how are we going to be judged? St. John of the Cross says, at the end of our earthly life, when we die and we're before God, St. John of the Cross says, at the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. 1 Peter 4:18 also says, perfect love casts out fear. Again, fear comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. Perfect love casts out fear. Colossians 3:14, it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Ah, what does the devil like? Disorder. What does God like? Order. What does the devil like? Lack of harmony, anarchy. What does God like? Harmony. How do you bring harmony in? Love. 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Let's keep praying for our country, that everybody falls in love with Jesus. That's how all these riots are going to stop. We'll be right back. Two-man car. Don't change that dial.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Let it be known that Catholic spiritual warfare is Christ-centered. It's not demon-centered. This is spiritual warfare. We're talking about the oldest exorcist in the United States. He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he says that very early on, this devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, it formed his priesthood. He said this mystical encounter he had in Rome with the Sacred Heart of Jesus formed his priesthood. And this is what's probably given him the strength to be an exorcist for about 50 years in the U.S. And not only that, he says it's a personal devotion. It's part of his priesthood. And again, I have no doubt because I've been told by people that have been treated by Father, Monsignor John Essef, they're saying that one of the things that he does with a person that he treats for possession, or even a lesser form, even just obsession or oppression, he makes sure that the family that the father installs, and he'll be present, he'll walk the dad through it. It's simple. It's just a prayer. He'll make sure that the dad installs, enthrones the Sacred Heart of Jesus at the house. That's one of the things that he does as an exorcist, as part of his protocol. I think that's very good. I think every priest should go back to this tradition of the church. Anita, what else does the article say about the theology about placing the image of Jesus?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that caritas, it's love. That's the whole point of our segment. It's Jesus' love, burning love for us. Just remember that. It drives away the diabolical, and it puts you in a state where we all want to be at the point of our death. We have to die with the love of Christ. And we're going to continue with Monsignor Essef. He said when we place the image of Jesus in the place of honor and publicly proclaim him Lord, it is a symbol in which we show the whole world that our home is under the heart of Jesus. By recognizing the kingship and the heart of Christ over us is not reserved just for families, but is also open to individuals, parishes, dioceses, communities, institutions. We also make a covenant with the Sacred Heart of Jesus to live under his kingship. We thereby accept his lordship over our families and over the world. Let's see. He's enthroned Jesus in prisons and have had amazing transformations. Every institution needs to be transformed. Judicial, nursing homes, mental institutions, schools. The whole of society needs to experience the civilization of love. Nothing should be excluded because all humanity longs for God's love. Every human heart was made for Jesus and his civilization of love. We are all one with each other in Christ, and there is nowhere that he does not belong. There's more on this article. You know, we just kind of went a little bit ahead. So just something that we wanted to share on Monsignor Essef.
One of the things that I'd like to see, I think this would stop the riots, to have every single bishop go out there in the city with his team of priests and start raising their right hands of authority, because they have authority over society spiritually, and start invoking, consecrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus into every city across the country. And have a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, do prayers of consecration for the city, and watch how fast this would stop. This would be more powerful than all the police dressed in military gear, but we need them, or even the National Guard. Is for every Catholic bishop and all his team of priests to enthrone every city to the Sacred Heart of Jesus with a big picture over their head in front of the protesters in procession. You know, it's interesting. there was this one woman who was possessed. She was had perfect possession. Her name was Deborah Lipsky. I've had her on the show before. She wrote a book. She was actually a Satanist for many years. But in her book, it's called A Message of Hope. She says this about the... Because I asked her, I said, Deborah, so you were perfectly possessed. You were a Satanist. I mean, she was into the dark side. I said, what's a pithy thing you can tell people to be healed from this? She said, she told me this, Jess, laugh a lot. She says, laughter brings joy. Joy brings love. And love brings God. Here's what Deborah Lipsky says. Former Satanist. She says this. Love is a powerful emotion, especially pure godly love, which, when demons are exposed to it, causes them to flee, writhing in pain. Deborah Lipsky says, former Satanist, she says, love torments a demon. Love reminds us that we are children of God and not slaves of the devil. We want to go to Pope Pius XII's the 1956 encyclical called Caritate Christi Compulsi on the theology of the Sacred Heart, because there's three paragraphs there, paragraph 9, 13, and 14, that have some spiritual warfare teaching to it, so we want to share it with you.
And yes, these are the three paragraphs that I mentioned early on in this our third segment. Paragraph 9, we know very well, venerable brethren, that's you, that all these efforts will come to naught, since without doubt, and in his own appointed time, God shall arise and his enemies shall be scattered. And that's, you can find that in Psalm, what's that?
I forget 50, what Psalm.
So yeah. This, it's, yeah. We know that the gates of hell shall never prevail. And that's in Matthew 16:18. We know that our divine Redeemer, as was foretold of him, shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And that's Isaiah. And there will be a dreadful hour for those wretched men when they shall fall into the hands of the living God. And that's in Hebrews 10:31.
Look at the language of Pope Pius XII in 1956. He's using straight spiritual warfare language. Notice what he says here. He says, God shall arise and his enemies shall be scattered. That's actually used in the rite of exorcism. That's an exorcism prayer that's used in the rite. It's either Psalm 67 or Psalm 68. And I also pray that prayer, by the way, when I put blessed candles in my house. We always have a blessed candle that's burning here in the Romero house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We follow the protocol that Father Chad Ripperger recommends for people to have their house protected, have blessed candles in a house, and then you have them on 24 hours a day. But when I put the candle on, I actually say this prayer, and it comes, it's an exorcism prayer from Psalm 67, here it is, I'm getting it on my phone here. So I'll put the candle, I'll say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, and I'll say, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. That's Psalm 68, verse 2. Pope Pius XII is quoting that. That's actually a prayer that's used in the rite of exorcism very powerfully. Demons don't like that prayer. It's very effective against them, especially when you're praying it and you have authority. You're a Catholic priest or you're the husband of a house installing a blessed candle. What's paragraph 13 say, Anita?
I'd just like to add, for those of you that want that prayer, I'll post it on our website. But also, you can put that prayer in front of that blessed candle, so it's always there. So let's continue. Chapter 13. Nor are we unaware. One last thing on the last chapter. Notice that the Pope, he used a lot of scripture. Scripture is spiritual warfare. Remember that. Here we go. 13. Nor are we unaware, venerable brethren, that in this fight for our altars, we must also use all the legitimate human arms which are ready to our hands.
You know, this is prophetic. He said this in 1956. And what are we fighting for right now in 2020? For our altars, for our ability to go back and worship the one true God and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're fighting back from a lot of these blue state governors to be able to go back and receive our sacraments in our churches, to open up our churches, and to enter once again into a normal parish life. So it's funny what he says in 1956, that, you know, that in this fight for our altars, we got to use all legitimate human arms which are ready to our hands. As Catholics, we're living that right now. And again, this is a twofold attack. It's spiritual and it's also political. It's always both, because demons use human beings as their agents of evil. So remember, pray like if your life depends on it, and vote pro-life. What's paragraph 14 say, Anita? Pope Pius XII on spiritual warfare.
Okay, he continues with 14. However, in the face of this satanic hatred of religion, which reminds us of the mystery of iniquity, Thessalonians 2:7, referred to by St. Paul, mere humans' means and expedients are not enough. And we should consider ourselves wanting in our apostolic ministry if we did not point out to mankind those wonderful mysteries of light that alone contain the hidden strength to subjugate the unchained powers of darkness. When our Lord, coming down from splendors of Tabor, had healed the boy tormented by the devil, whom the disciples had not been able to cure, to their humble question, why could not we cast him out? He made reply in the memorable words, "This kind is not cast out by prayer. This kind is not cast out, but by prayer and fasting." That's in Matthew 8, 17. It appears to us, venerable brethren, that these divine words find a peculiar application in the evils of our times, which can be averted only by the means of prayer and penance.
Today's Friday. How about applying that to our lives today? Matthew 27, verses 18 to 20. Fast today. Fast and abstain from meat. And do it so that we can usher in the reign of Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I just want to invite you tomorrow. There's going to be a men's conference, a virtual online men's conference through vmpr.org. If you want your Catholic man to be quickened, if you want him to experience a conversion, a metanoia, so he can start not being an effeminate man, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, and start becoming a prayer warrior and lead the family in prayer. Join us tomorrow, vmpr.org. Sign up for our men's conference, vmpr.org. Sign up for our men's conference. I'll be presenting two talks. Tim Gordon will be presenting, Ruben Nava, and also Terry. But until then, remember the words of St. Padre Pio. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. And remember, as a Catholic, learn your faith, live your faith, and share your faith. And before you die, make sure you leave it all out in the field. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.